Man, I think it looks like Iraq is on the list for regime change right now. And picked up and ran with that, Saddam must have been behind the anthrax attack. And this is before, you know, they even got to Tora Bora to let Osama go. He was already pushing for that one. So remind us all some more about 2002 and 3, Jim.
Well, he was John McCain was in the forefront of calling for the U.S. to attack Iraq. The evidence really didn't matter. And it was interesting, once the U.S. did invade, and it turned out that those WMDs were basically nowhere to be found, the Bush, George W., decided to cover his butt by having an official commission to look into it. And, of course, he put John McCain on that commission. And basically on the same day that John McCain was appointed, before the commission had done any kind of work, John McCain came out and said that George Bush was innocent. So I'm thinking, oh, this guy's a great juror. No wonder people in Washington love him.
Yeah, man. That's so funny. And you know what, too? Well, I don't know. Nah, I don't want to get too far into it. I guess about Iraq War, too. He also was a hawk the whole time. That's something that, you know, and he ain't the only one. But when people talk about who got us into that war, who supported that war, a major part of that is essentially everyone who supported that war also said we had to stay until everything's perfect. We can't leave now or the violence will get worse. And don't you worry, it doesn't matter if there's weapons or not. Now that you broke it, you bought it. It's the Pottery Barn rule. And so we, you know, and he was, you know, always at the forefront of that, even though, remember that video where he's with Joe Lieberman and he doesn't even know who's on whose side at all. And he accuses Iran of training the Al-Qaeda in Iraq guys. And Joe Lieberman's like, no, dude, you got your talking points all mixed up. Just say militants, okay?
Well, a favorite episode of mine was when he was ramping up his 2008 presidential campaign. And he went to that Baghdad market. And he's out there walking around saying, oh, everything is going good here. It's looking fine. He's wearing a flak jacket, load of U.S. Helicopters flying overhead, you know, practically a whole regiment, maybe brigade surrounding him. Oh, everything looks fine here. You know, we're making great progress.
Right.
And it was the same already. I think it was hit hard after he left. But it was just typical of the, you know, absolute willingness to lie as far as to justify his warmongering.
Yeah, and you know what? Thanks for reminding me, because I had forgotten that it was Mike Pence that was with him at the time.
Oh, Pence. Pence was great. I think I had a Pence had some of the best quotes on that. Kind of like, oh, it looks the same way it does a market in Indiana does in the summertime. I think I'm never going to Indiana.
Yeah, this sounds like a dangerous place.
Oh, man. Sound like what, Gary, Indiana, maybe? You know, that's Mike Pence who accompanied pulling us up here. Yada, yada.
Yep. And by the way, and the whole surge, too, when they doubled the war and made it just that much worse. They didn't solve any problems. They just solidified all the problems they'd already created with that massive surge, which he was a major ringleader for as well.
Yeah, they just postponed the shitting the fan. That's all they did. John McCain was nicknamed the new Baghdad Bob after his visit there in 2007 to that market. And Baghdad Bob was a spokesman for Saddam, who kept saying, oh, the Iraqi army is doing great. The Iraqi army is winning. You know, we're going to turn things around. Yeah, and that was John McCain's nickname after that market, Baghdad market visit. So,
yep. And by the way, too, you didn't mention this, Jim, in your article, but on his deathbed, he said, oh, you know what? I guess that Iraq war was a mistake after all. He didn't say he was sorry.
Oh. I didn't know that. I didn't really follow the statements that he
it was the greatest laugh of the last week of his life. Like, oh, all that stuff I said, yeah, forget about that.
Okay, well, that's,
famous last words.
Yeah, for some reason, the Washington media did not play that up. I don't know why.
Oh, man, no, that's okay. I'm not mad at you for missing
it. But no, I mean, and here's someone who was gung-ho for the U.S. intervention in Syria, for the U.S. bombing of Libya. I mean, he sowed so much chaos around the entire Middle East and elsewhere, Serbia, as you said, and yet it doesn't matter as far as how he's judged. I mean, you had people like Max Boot out there just gushing that it's an outrage that that Trump is bashing. Where the frig is that line? That Trump is bashing John McCain because he's basically the greatest American in history. Not quite Max Boot's words, but it's like, what does a politician have to do in order to justify mocking him? Because you had a guy who was totally corrupt. You had a guy who tried to censor, to destroy the First Amendment with his campaign reform. You had a guy who dragged the U.S. into one war and was a cheerleader for a lot of other wars. If memory serves, I saw somebody did a list of all the nations that McCain had advocated bombing. And I think it was like 12 or 14.
Right.
Says, you know, that's a lot.
Yeah, it's some that we never even got around to getting a chance to bomb yet, you know?
Well, and, you know, thinking back to his idiotic 2008 presidential campaign when he was a GOP nominee, there was the clash between Russia and the country of Georgia. And John McCain responded, "We're all Georgians now, like Kennedy in Berlin in early 60s. It's like, dude, this isn't our fight. Both sides are rascals. Why are we getting involved in this? So,
right. Hey, I got an anecdote about that too. Was in one of the presidential debates.
Okay.
McCain says, "Yeah, Russia invaded Georgia and started this war, and we've got to do something." And then Tom Brokaw looks at Barack Obama, and Barack Obama looks at Tom Brokaw, and then they look at McCain, and they all kind of make eye contact with each other, like. And I'm just kind of reading into it, but they're basically saying with body language, "Remember, guys, this is the part where we rehearsed it and we decided we're just going to go ahead and not contradict the facts there. We're going to let McCain pretend that it was Russia that hit first in that one." And Obama just kind of shrugs and they go along when he could have just said, "That's not what happened at all." But you could tell that they were looking at each other, referring back to a previous conversation, kind of. You know what I mean? It was that obvious.
Well, it was, you know, in that kind of debate where you're up against someone who's making so many false statements, is, you know, you sit there and you think, which ones do I counterpunch? Which ones do I expose?
Right.
And there was just so much garbage that McCain shoveled, as did many other politicians, especially pro-war politicians. But he was, you know, he's someone who set the gold standard for foreign policy drivel, which is part of the reason he was a hero for the Washington establishment.
Right. And, you know, yeah, so what does it take? And you mention all these things that he did. And, of course, that's the whole deal, right? Is it what it takes is for him to say crude things. In fact, the worst trouble he ever got in was for singing "Bomb, Bomb, Bomb Iran," not all of the things that he did to try to get America into a war with Iran, all the lies he told about the threat from their nuclear program and all of these things. It was when he sang that song. It was when he, you know, because that's easy. That's obviously crossing a line and being flip about something serious. And so you can make hay out of that without actually having to learn anything. And so that's the deal. As long as he wasn't grabbing anybody by their anything, then he's an officer and a gentleman. And how dare you, Bovard?
Well, it's just sad to see that that's the standard that was used for someone who advocated deadly force so many times. It would be different if he was simply a mayor or if he was a city councilman. But here's someone who was constantly coming out and, you know, saying that U.S. should drop bombs on foreign countries and flatten their capital or flatten their military leaders or whatever. And it's like, on what basis, you know? And he didn't need to have a basis because the most of the press corps would cheer him on. It didn't matter who he advocated bombing as long as it wasn't, you know, England or Ireland or maybe Holland.
Yeah. And, you know, too, we should also pick on him, I think, for not using his position as the famous supposed war hero to oppose war. You know, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's like the difference between Tulsi Gabbard and Tammy Duckworth. Duckworth gets up there and is just like, "Yeah, I'm a representative of the military here because I used to be part of it." And whereas Gabbard is saying, look, man, I've been there. I saw what it's about. And I'm going to use that knowledge to do things that are contrary to the status quo because I know better than the status quo. That's what we need. And in fact, I forget the specifics. I think it was Panama. It may have been some of the goings on in Lebanon in the 1980s. But there was a point there where McCain saw that his advantage was in saying, hey, listen, I'm a war hero, former POW, this, that, and the other thing, and I don't think we should be doing this reckless thing. And that is the responsible thing to do. And that goes to show that he kind of knew that, and he used that politically, but then he abandoned it decades ago and became the world's worst hawk instead, and used his stature in that way in the exact opposite fashion from the way he had started out there. So that makes it that much more shameful, right? Just like admitting in such gritty detail to the New York Times how he felt about napalm and then doing it anyway. It makes it that much worse.
Yeah, well, he was saying that about napalm. I don't know that he was actually dropping napalm. Was he dropping napalm on the North, or was... I thought he was dropping...
Yeah, I'm
other
not
types
sure
of
what,
weapons,
what his plane, what kind of bombs. Explosives his plane was dropping.
Okay,
but,
okay,
but that was what he said, was that he was okay. dropping napalm.
Okay, yeah.
He was
well,
saying, I don't know how I can continue to do this. So the implication is, I don't know the exact quote, but the implication is that he's been napalming people. Yeah.
Well, it's just going back to what you said about Tulsi Gabbard. I mean, she's very impressive in her comments on foreign policy. She's, you know, she's smart. She's persuasive. She's tough. And she's gotten savage in the media so far. But that could change. That could change.
Yeah.
So.
Sorry, hold on just one second. Hey, you guys, check out Kesslyn Runs. It's a great new dystopian novel about the very near future by our friend Charles Featherstone. I think you'll really like it. Check it out. It's on Amazon.com right now. Kesslyn Runs. You know, I mean, never mind all the disclaimers about all the big government stuff she believes in. She's a Democrat. All that goes without saying. However, I'm really excited about her presence in the race because I think they're just already hellbound and determined to attack her. But all they have is narratives and talking points, and she has real knowledge. And she has that whole thing. We're like, dude, are you really calling me a pro-Assadian, pro-Russian traitor or whatever when I fought in Iraq War II, that kind of thing? They can only go after her so hard with her veteran status. And then they can't fool her into hating Iran more than Al-Qaeda. Which everybody else like, oh, I don't know. I'm told I'm supposed to hate Iran more. And they just go along with that. But she's like, yeah, no, I don't. I hate Al-Qaeda more. Sorry. Fought in the Anbar province. That's kind of my thing. And so how are they going to get around that? And how are they going to, you know, drum up a narrative that's going to be able to overcome her, you know, factual response that way? I'm looking forward to her Giuliani moment right off the bat in these debates and you know, to see her do that Ron Paulian truth teller thing on the wars. And she's not perfect on the wars, but she knows enough about them to be better than everybody else on that stage by far. That's for sure. So I just hope that it helps to really provoke a fight. I'm confident it will, that there's going to be a great fight, the kind that we deserve to at least be able to see, you know?
Yeah. Well, she's tough and she's smart. And I hope she gets a chance to have that fight in a very visible venue.
Yeah, man. And you know, Mike Gravel's back in it. And
yeah, he's a hoot.
Uh-huh. And I saw where he was, you know, really talking smack against the other candidates on Twitter. And he said, I guess a reporter asked him, he said, well, I got these college kids running my Twitter account for me, but they're going after these guys hard, going after Biden for supporting Iraq War II, especially. And then, but going after the rest of these guys really harshly. And so... So I like that. And he says the only reason he wants to be in there is to talk about imperialism. And so that should be great, too. He's pretty good. Yeah. And then, oh, and that was the thing, is he was mocking Cory Booker was pretending to be brave over some garbage, what, Brett Kavanaugh scandal or something. And then he's like, oh, yeah, well, here's me reading the Pentagon Papers into the Federal Register and a link to that. So a little bit of... you know, feistiness and combativeness going into this thing from Gravel. So I'm happy to see that. I don't know how old he is now, though, like 88 or something.
Well, but he's someone who was, you know, Daniel Ellsberg wrote about him very favorably in his Ellsberg's memoir, Secrets, because there were so many senators who were afraid to basically directly help out Ellsberg getting the Pentagon Papers out, but not the guy from Alaska. He was willing to take the stand. So.
Yeah. That's hugely important to history. And, you know, he actually gets really kind of left out of the narrative mostly because it's kind of a complicated story the way it all played out. But usually just the Times and then if you let Tom Hanks tell it, the Post get the credit for it.
Oh, my God. Yes, it's appalling.
But everybody always forgets good old Gravel in the Senate who said, well, you can't arrest me. It says in the Constitution, you can't arrest me unless I commit a breach of the peace or something like that. So here goes some classified information, everybody. Blam, and sat there and read the thing for
I don't know how long.
Days. Yep. Which is heroic. I mean, you're right. And it just goes to show because no one else was going to do it. They wouldn't have touched that with a 100-foot pole. Even the ones who had promised Ellsberg that they would backed out and stuff. So.
Yep. It was unsavory.
Yep. Cool, man. Well, you know what? I don't know. I like talking with you. Let's think of something else to talk about. What do you think about other things?
Ah! Oh, God. Well, I just, you know, think about what? What was your...
What do you think about John McCain's daughter?
Oh. Scott, I'm
sorry.
Trying so hard to be polite here.
No, I don't want to put you on the spot.
No.
She's funny. You could say that. Maybe it's all unintentional. But it's still funny.
There was a funny Twitter thing. There's someone made a compilation of her comments on various TV shows, and it's posed as a therapy question. What brought you here? And then she answers 30 times in a row, "My father, my father, my father." And it's a fun little thing. To see how she got elevated in the media is like, this is, well, you know, there's a lot of mysteries as far as why certain people get elevated, and she's one of the top 25 mysteries. Yeah.
Well, I can't wait till the race in 2024 when it's her versus Chelsea Clinton.
Oh, God. Good old Chelsea.
She's going to be in the Hard Senate here before too long, man. I just know it.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
No?
She doesn't have, no. I think that the Clinton political machine is fatally damaged, so.
Well, I like that. You know, Liz Cheney still lives. She's in the U.S. House of Representatives. And
well,
sometimes rears her ugly head and reminds us that she's there on the Rules Committee or some dangerous thing.
Yeah, it's kind of like, oh my. Well, you know, it's hard to have faith in Wyoming.
Yeah, I know it. I really resent them for doing this to us. And you know, she's going to be there for life, too, because as soon as that Senate seat's open, she's going to take that. And yeah, the worst is only portended now. Just the fact that she's sitting in the house, that's like the alien is inside the guy's chest, but it hasn't yet burst out, you know?
Well, you know, there are a lot of people in the house who just make me shudder. So, you know, she is. There's a lot of company there of folks who just.
Yeah, I don't mean to just pick on the women.
Right.
We just started with that. So that's all.
Yeah. I mean, there's
Liz
a lot
Cheney
of
is a Cheney. That's my problem with her. I don't care if she was her name was Dave or what.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, she has a very different attitude towards government power, which is different than yours and mine.
Yeah. You know what? You're such a gentleman, Jim. Gentleman Jim. Maybe that's what we should call you now.
Well, that's because it's pretty happy hour, so
all right.
I haven't had any beer yet, so.
Well, go get drunk, man.
Well, I won't get drunk, but I'll have a beer. That's a compromise.
All right. Well, go get a slight buzz.
Okay. Well,
drink it fast. You know.
Drink it fast. It's good beer. You got to savor it. So anyhow.
What the hell do I know? Goodbye, Jim. It's been great talking with you, my friend.
Hey, Scott, thanks for having me on. Good luck with everything. And otherwise, keep raising hell.
Hell yeah. Keep sending me all your articles. Make sure.
Shall do.
Thanks.
All right.
All right, you guys. That's the great Jim Bovard. He wrote Public Policy Hooligan. And also Attention Deficit Democracy and Freedom in Chains and Feeling Your Pain. and all kinds of things like that. Go look him up on Amazon and check out his great blog at jimbovard.com. All right, y'all. Thanks. Find me at libertarianinstitute.org, at scotthorton.org, antiwar.com, and reddit.com/Scott Horton Show. Oh, yeah, and read my book, Fool's Errand, Timed and the War in Afghanistan, at foolserrand.us.